My favorite pets.
The clattering of the door to my laboratory heralded the arrival of Scray. His feet shuffled as he carried a heavy load of arcane supplies he had been sent to the market after. His diminutive form made its way inside, though the bundled up mishmash of vials and other glasswares was the first I saw, upheld by his trembling red-scaled paws. Scray was one of my newer pets, a kobold from the forest on the surface, above the great city of Orlo-Oronas, the home of my people, a tangled web of tunnels and caves deep underground. The small kobold, still a cub, though of sexual maturity by now, gingerly unpacked the supplies. He refilled vials in their racks, carefully pouring fresh acids and bases into my favorite ceramic containers. Small etchings of my people's writing, denominating which was what. Scray knew their positions by memory, as well as me having taught him just a smidgen of the letters, only the youth of his mind and his keen intellect enabling him to be able to read it. Eventually, with a few tinkles of glassware and bubbling sounds and rattling of brass and steel, my pet finished his task and stepped up to my position at my large desk at the end of the laboratory. All the while he had been toiling, I had been deeply engrossed in one of my spell tomes, arcane symbols and words imprinting themselves into the very core of my mind, one tentacle or the other, idly turning the pages as my three-digit hands caressed the words there, the unique lettering of my species holding the secrets of my spells. Tiny grooves within the four-lined letters sinking and rising on the pages, complex thoughts and abstractions in writ. I was nearly done with my preparations for the day when my pet's knees hit the stone floors with a dull thud and he prostrated himself in front of me. I could sense a bit of dread and fear coming from his mind, so I closed the tome in a huff, the tentacles in front of my head writhing with agitation. "What is the problem?" I called into his mind.
"Master,"
the small kobold said in yabbering undercommon, still prostrated, his fear increasing.
"I did not get the full value for the last crumb of slaves."
"Why is that?" He seemed to turn even smaller than he was, his form crumbling up on the floor.
"Old Strasaram, the potion seller. He had been to the surface too. Most recently, in fact, it would appear he had targeted the same villages as we, I mean, as you did, Master."
I drew out a long and blubbery sigh and got to my feet, tentacles extending fully below and above my head, writhing and waving around, an obvious sign of my agitation. I knew it had been a good target. I knew I should have brought home more of the industrious loggers and farmers of the new human settlements that had sprung up recently. But, in a sense, I had been greedy. I thought if I only raided a little, took some slaves but not all, then they would still breed, still bring in more of their kin to be exploited. The slave market works on supply and demand, after all. If Ostralsaran had been there before Scray... that seems strange. The village's terror was fresh when we struck, and it had only been a fortnight since. Maybe he had access to a portal there. As my mind wandered, I suddenly noticed my pet getting to his knees, muttering under his breath. A spell, a trick. His paws were moving deftly in front of him, the fear in his mind turning to glee as he finished his incantation. My surprise so big I did not manage to react before the first glows of light appeared in his scaled paws. A psionic wave of energy exploded out from me, invisible to the naked eye, but to my mind causing ripples in the fabric of space and time as it tore towards the kobold, rendering him paralyzed, while at the same time a spell took effect. The lights at the end of his paws turned blue and multiplied again as they streaked through the air. A spell unknown to me, but not unlike magic missile, though each appeared to glow brighter and more powerful, and there were so many, I counted 14 as they flew towards me, before one of my contingency wards sprang into life, a glow of green energy washing out in a bubble around me to meet the approaching missiles and nullify them. Then I sensed a powerful emotion of glee and self-satisfaction from Scree as the missiles exploded in colorful lights just before they met my ward, giant butterflies loudly fluttering out of the noiseless explosions, darting this way and that towards the ceiling, before disintegrating in specks of amber magical sparks that drifted towards the floor and tables of my laboratory before vanishing completely, leaving the room to be dark again, except for the green bubble that still shimmered around. The upper hand was mine now, as the small kobold was still paralyzed from the mind blasts, and I stepped around the table and strode towards him, towering over his diminutive form. He was less than 2 feet tall, and I was 6. His snout barely made it to my groin if I bent my knees a little, and the size of my black-cloaked body must have been terrifying. That is, were it not for the fact that Scree seemed to enjoy the way I was able to completely dominate him, both physically, mentally, and magically. His mind was totally bereft of the fear and dread that most would feel when in front of a mind flayer, who could latch on and suck their brains out without even fighting back. And yet here he was, my little pet, his reptilian eyes staring intently at my own opaque ones, his mind churning eagerly at the prospect of the punishment for his insolence. My kin does not take kindly to those who study the arcane, nor those who treat the lesser races as anything other than cattle and chattel. Yet the human I had emerged from some 90 years ago had one certain quirk, a voracious sexual appetite. A quirk which I have inherited, at first to my dismay and later to my deep enjoyment. My arcane studies made me an outcast already, and I made sure that my abode was situated at the very edge of our city, as far from the Elder Brain as possible, so as to avoid conflicts of interest and my own destruction. Results matter though, and my army of slaves and thralls was as big as most. I raided frequently and enslaved and brought back enough sentience to keep both my kin and especially the Elder Brains satisfied that I was a contributor to our species. Most, of course, I would enthrall with the powers of my mind, binding them, warding their minds and hearts in psionic traps that would steal their blood flow or blow their brains out if they disobeyed. Yet, unlike so many others, I felt not the need to torture them aimlessly, to have their blood spilled in the arenas needlessly. Nor did I treat the other major powers of the Underdark with overt hostility when I led a trade delegation to their cities. If the lesser races can accomplish more with cooperation, why should we not do the same? Yet, that is a preposterous thought to my kin, and I never shared it out loud, not even in my mind. Complex wards would be woven when I ventured out into the city. Yet I know the rumors persisted, especially of my appetites. Of the creatures I would buy and how I would inspect them, my mind probing deep within theirs, my digits trailing their bodies, my thorough inspection of their genitals. The fact I always brought back male specimens. Once back in my abode, sequestered in their barracks or lairs or pools or whatever their species required, my favorite slaves would have my designs revealed to them. There would be pain and punishment, but also rewards and enjoyment. The wards I wove would protect them and myself from prying minds, so as their life here would not be as dreary or horrifying as elsewhere in the city. All I require is that they must serve, willingly or otherwise. I keep my slaves much longer than others. I train them. I feed them enough. I don't feed from the majority of those I bring back. Only from those we catch above the Underdark, or far from the city. The Dark Elves are among my favorite victims. Their haughty cruelty, not unlike my own kin, an absolute joy to eviscerate as I devour their brains. Yet even some of them have found places in my abode, exceptional individuals whom I can enjoy their bodies, minds of punish and pleasure as I will. Yet Skray, the paralyzed kobold whom I towered over, was by far my most favorite pet out of all I had gathered so far. The draconic kin was normally impossible to dominate in the way I enjoyed. Too stubborn, too speciesist, too simple to be swayed into my service willingly. I kept several in my slave pens, of course. They breed fast and are capable fighters, and their draconic blood is of use in a certain array of spells and potions I have been crafting for many years. I may be 90, but I don't look a day over 50. My skin is healthy and moist. My tentacles strong and flexible. My mind as sharp as ever. Draconic blood and draconic brains, but not Skray's. I remember the raid some 6 years back. My army and myself attacking the kobold village. Camouflaged huts deep in the wood. The night sky dark and foreboding as my psionic blasts and powerful spells ripped through the darkness and slew their greatest warriors and sorcerers where they stood, while my minions gathered the weak and the paralyzed in enchanted cuffs. I strode through the line of the scaled slaves, probing their minds, when a hatchling, barely a foot tall, caught my attention. He had seen me fight, I could divulge from his mind. And instead of anger or fear, I sensed admiration. I probed his mind further, the cub yielding his mind with no resistance, and a blur of images and sensations of having his hole stuffed with knotted kobold dicks assaulted my mind, making my member throb. This was a natural tail raiser. He had sought it out the moment he had figured out such a thing could happen. And even in shackles in front of me, with his people decimated and enslaved, his small dick was throbbing from the memories I was probing out of his underdeveloped mind. Needless to say, I claimed him fully the moment I brought him back to my abode. My member, slick with the mucus of my species, and far larger than any dick he had so far taken, slamming deeply inside the yipping hatchling. His small body like a doll in my hands, scaled skin yielding to my harsh grip as I pounded his rump, his insides miraculously making room for the entirety of my cock. The anguished yips as I hilted him, spurring me on. The cub lying on the floor, utterly tuckered out, bleeding from his hole, still looking at me in admiration and lust, egging me on for another round, which I delivered. His hole busted and bruised and bleeding, his small form shivering and shaking, on the verge of death, yet every psionic emanation from his mind reeking of perverse masochistic lust. His small knotted dick spasming with orgasm after orgasm. Here he was, my pet, my student, arguably as fine an illusionist as most. The spell he had just thrown at me, causing my contingency spell to fire, the surprise causing me to hesitate and be caught flat-footed. Such a rascal, such a tease. In my reveries, I had let him slightly lose his sense of self-satisfaction and true dread to sink in. He was not stupid. He knew that we illithids killed our slaves without hesitation. By the seven hells, he had seen me kill without hesitation. Seen me torture, seen me maim, seen me skin a kobold alive before roasting its heart in an obsidian stone vessel for a ritual. But he was not to be disappointed. My mind raced back in time and forth again. The memories of what I had done to him that very first day in the abode, causing my member to harden, his shape making an obvious indentation in my robes. I cast them off with a flourish, my gray-skinned, slightly slimy body naked in all its glory in front of my paralyzed pets. His gaze right at my crutch, the throbbing member right in front of his muscle. The hole on his mind shattered like leaves in the wind, and the kobold instantly took a step forward and engulfed me in his muscle. My species does not have a very acute sense of smell or taste, but the sensation in his mind always made him gasp out in appreciation. The images brought to bear were of seafood mixed with the spice known as vanilla, apparently very contrasting and disgusting. Yet he reveled in it, his member throbbing to attention under his own yellow robes, felt through his mind rather than seen through my eyes. I rested my hands on the two horny growths on his head and used them as handles to steer his muscle harshly onto my cock again and again, the meat spearing his throat, the young kobold gagging and groaning as I bruised his insides, saliva and throat slime coating my member as I rode his face without mercy, almost mechanically pushing him down and up, never allowing him to catch his breath. I could sense the panic in his mind as the lack of air caused him to itch closer to unconsciousness. Yet I did not relent, shoving his face into my groin again and again until he was at the very edge of oblivion. Only then did I pull him off, Scray managing one quick, raspy gulp of air before I rode his throat again. His stomach heaved, his lungs worked without results. His throat constricted, his robes were spattered and then drenched as throat slime and mucus from his stomach sprayed out his nostrils. His eyes traveled to the back of his head as he yet again neared oblivion. They pulled off, only giving him a fraction of a second to take a tiny gulp of air before I bore his head down into my groin, deeper than before. Sensing in his mind the feeling of my member traveling deep into his stomach and resting there, his constricting throat milking it of a few drops of pre-seed he couldn't even taste, his mind at the edge yet again. I kept him there. His panic increased. I kept him there. His mind went darker. I kept him there. Finally, his paws, until now held firmly at his sides, arose to batter ineffectually at my own much stronger arms as utter black engulfed his senses. At the very cusp of looting consciousness, I finally let go, the hatchling pulling off with sputtering gasps as life-giving air was finally allowed to enter his aching lungs. I stepped in, putting one leg between his, and felt his member throbbing against my gray flesh through his robe. He looked at me with slight consternation, and I spoke a single syllable, a powerful word of stun. His own ward, shimmering blue, arose from his small body to resist the magic. Yet my superior spellcraft broke through, shattering the protection with the sound of breaking glass, before his body turned rigid, utterly defenseless against whatever I could fathom to do against him. I wove a spell, one of the more interesting ones in my repertoire, and a shimmer arose from the floor around us, the stone seemingly giving way to a host of thick black tentacles that undulated their way upwards. They were of various sizes, some as tall as me, some as tall as the kobold, some thick, some thinner. The spell would usually be used to trap your enemies and choke the life from their bodies. I had other ideas. The black tentacles followed my unspoken commands, trailing against Scray's body, vining around his legs, his torso, lifting him into the air, his knees pried apart, his robes resisting and then tearing at its seams. The garment falling to the ground in pieces as the writhing mass caressed and enveloped his body. When the restriction was complete, The young kobold had his legs splayed out almost painfully to the sides and back, exposing his rear. His back was to the ground, his arms to the sides. I stepped around him, the tentacles darting this way and that to avoid touching me, and I rested my slimy member on his snout, smearing my fluids around his nostrils, grinding it against the flesh of his muscle, prying at his teeth. Every single sensation that he felt, every smell he inhaled, every strand of slime that rubbed off his muscle, made his mind light up, and I reveled in the sensation. Such powerful, submissive energy is like nourishment to me. I can feed off it like a succubus. Not to mention the sights of such a lovely, knotted cock spasming futilely is always a treasure to behold. I ordered a couple of the smaller tentacles to wrap themselves around his scrotum, which was now dangling freely, the draconic form mixing with the obviously vulpine heritage of the species, the pouch furred rather than scaled, the cock moist and veiny, unlike the horned protrusions of real dragons. He meeped and then yipped as the tentacle wrapped around his nuts began to constrict, undulating and wrapping itself around a second time, the black fleshy mass forcing his stones to bulge out. He moaned and then groaned out in true pain, the psionic emanations making me gasp in pleasure as the tentacle wrapped around a third time and squeezed harder still, the skin utterly taut, only the twin indentations of his tortured testicles visible. If I had a proper mouth, I would have grinned as I ordered the tentacle to wrap around a fourth time, Scray yipping rapidly in agony as his nutsack was stretched even further, the intense pain causing tears to drip down on the stone floor, his mind ablaze in delicious torment, his cock throbbing and spasming from masochistic enjoyment. His body was tensing up. I could anticipate an eruption of an orgasm nearing, and I ordered the tentacle to loosen up, still wrapped tightly, but taking off a great deal of the pressure. Scray huffed and puffed delightfully as I so masterfully brought him down from his heights of sensation. With a simple gesture, as this was a low-level spell I had prepared just so, a splash of slippery substance suddenly materialized, coating the kobold from his torso and down, and most of the tentacles as well, in a slimy, opaque, yet utterly lubricating magical goo that would serve well for the next part of this torture. I cajoled the tentacle to split and then split again, until its head resembled a writhing mass of foot-long worms and made it glide its way up his body, the many small tentacles rubbing themselves into the looped-up scales of the kobold's stomach before appearing in front of his head, undulating this way and that in front of his eyes. At this point, I finally released the paralysis spell from him and took a step back to avoid his devoted mouth enveloping my organ. Instead, I made a couple tentacles wrap around his throat and cradle his neck, forcing his head forwards most painfully, his spine crackling, just shy of breaking, so he could see what came next. I made myself levitate and floated up and to the side, resting my head in my palm as if I was lying on an ottoman couch, ready to observe what was to happen. The split tentacle head trailed its way down his body again, my fingers making passes in the air, directing it this way and that like an agitated snake, resting it across one of his nipples, multiple worm-like tentacles tickling it, before trailing down further until it faced his knotted erection. Now I made the tentacle wrapped around his testicles squeeze again, hard. Then harder. The flesh there went from taut to bulging obscenely as his nuts were pressed to their very limits against his fur nutsack. Skravjepten yammered as the pressure only increased when I made a second tentacle wrap around the first, starting at the base of his sack and assisting in stretching the skin even further, close to the point of tearing his balls clean off. I could see, and most of all feel through his mind, the points where it would break, and kept the pressure just so. The agony relentless, my poor kobold shivering and shaking the best he could in his bondage, the tentacles keeping his head facing forward, and observing as his nutsack was stretched and compressed further and harder. It was like observing fireworks, a most unwelcome sight, I might add. But the metaphor is apt for how his synapses fired up and his whole brain went into a frenzied overdrive. His masochism pushed to the limit and then some. The barriers in his mind breaking, melting, euphoria and agony intertwining as his nuts attempted in vain to press up against his body in anticipation of his impending orgasm. At this very moment, the worm-like tentacles that were hovering in front of his cock sprung into action. First one, then another, and then a third, pushed against the entrance to his dick. His urethra splitting open, the flesh yielding to the well-lubed tentacles that traveled deep inside him. He got to observe in detail as one after the other entered his dick and undulated their way through his cock. A tiny glob of semen managing to push out before it was pressed back inside. His red meat bulging, several vines pressed deep inside. I made the tentacles squeezing his testicles pull up so they were visible to him, and they undulated as well, as the small worm-like appendages made their way all the way through his cock and inside the tubes going to his nuts, finally worming their way inside and twisting around this way and that, filling up the space, making a pressure from within that competed with the pressure from without. I finally made him scream, a keening wail that almost made the glassware in my laboratory shake as the torturous pain in his testicles increased even further. His urethra stretching out as more and more of the worm-like tentacles invaded the tiny orifice. His knotted cock bulging obscenely, his orgasm ruined and his seed forcefully shoved back inside his nutsack, the pressure simply mounting further. I deviously made the thickest tentacle I had summoned slither its way forward underneath Scray, making it rise up and caress his screaming muscle before it traveled down under him and ended up positioned at the base of his tail.
"Please, master,"
my shuddering pet groaned out, agony causing his voice to crack. "What?"
"Please, master, I beg you, please, make me feel it more. Hurt me more,"
he shouted, his body writhing and shuddering, the psionic emanations from his mind enough to feed me for weeks. I knew what he wanted. My psionic craft is not the strongest, I will admit, but I have a deft tentacle when it comes to sensations and their workings. I levitated down so that I stood in front of him, the tentacles wrapped around his throat, still forcing him to watch as the others undulated and writhed around and inside his cock and balls, and I rested my fingers on his temples. I could give him all this pain and more with a simple psionic touch, but where is the finesse in that? Where is the fun? Why not, instead, make his sense of touch twice, nay, thrice as powerful, thrice as sensitive? I delved into his mind, bracing myself for the psionic onslaught, and warped his neurons with my will. The glassware on the nearest table positively rattled around as he screamed as powerfully as his lungs would allow, as the now tripled sensations of his tortured genitals erupted through his mind. The pressure, the pull, the need for release hampered by 10 wiggling black worms burrowing inside his urethra. I twisted his sense of sights. He saw it all even clearer. Every indentation of skin, every pulsing vein, every undulating tentacle making his cock bulge. The tentacle poised at his tail hole, wider than his fist, then slammed forward, opening him brutally and fast. The black mass pressing with relentless force inside his first and second sphincter within 1 second, making his scaled belly distend grotesquely. He gasped soundlessly, the sensation of the brutal and fast ass fuck driving the wind from his lungs, his overburdened mind snapping in pieces as the pain exploded across his synapses, causing him to seizure. The fist-sized tentacle exited his body with a loud squelch, and then inserted itself again. Blood and slick magic lubrication spattering to the floor, torn anus barely resisting as it punished his backside in and out, eventually barely meeting resistance from the ragged flesh. I willed another tentacle, slightly smaller, to join in, pushing in harshly and tearing him further. His mind ablaze in torment, so harsh and so amplified he could neither speak nor moan, the breath utterly trapped in his lungs. The grimace on his face spurred me on to add another tentacle, this one meeting resistance before something popped. As the three tentacles together pushed deeply inside my pet stomach, he finally yowled and yipped and yammered, his neurons utterly blazing with delicious pain. I could see his eyes traveling to the back of their sockets, tears dripping freely, as even his masochistic tendencies were pushed far above their limits. My cruelty spurring me to cause the tentacles wrapped around his nutsack to twist around one more time and squeeze. The rubbery black masses penetrating his bloody and ruined and prolapsed tail hole relentlessly pounded inside. 1, 2, 3 heads making indentations in his stomach out of rhythm. I could hear and feel his testicles finally getting close to popping, as there was no way for them to release their contents except inside his pouch. And then I finally ordered the worm-like tentacles penetrating his urethra to exit his knotted cock. Scray yelped and shuddered as his seed was finally allowed to spray out of his cock, the tentacles around his nutsack ever so slightly loosening their grip to the merely torturous. The three big tentacles up his tail hole driving deep and deeper, blood and gore running freely from his ruined sphincter and ruptured innards. I leaned in, fingers still on his head, and enveloped his cranium with my tentacles, my mouth nuzzling at his head fur, as I drank down the heady psionic energy of his masochistic orgasm. My pets screaming and moaning and groaning, as his seed sprayed all over his stomach, and the tentacles holding him firmly in place. The eruptions of torturous, painful pleasure that fired off his overstimulated synapses, generating a powerful field of energy for me to consume. His pleasure waned and his torment increased as he was finally able to feel all the pain without his arousal to taint it. The explosions of light inside his mind changed color to red and green. His chest started spasming as the full and triple pain of the tentacles still violating his torn hole, and his breath catching as the worm-like tentacles delve deeply inside his softening cock again, stretching his urethra more than painfully, slithering down to occupy the seed-vacant space in his testicles and bulge out, beginning his torment yet again. Despite all this, despite the agony that was racking his body, despite knowing that his torment had just begun, Skray smiled.
"Thank you, Master,"
he said, his voice hoarse and shaking with agony, yet respectful and full of adoration. I readied a fourth tentacle to rupture his tailhole further. I made the ones constricting his nutsack tighten up harder than ever before. No pain would be too much for my favorite pets.